It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now to our food series. There are a wide variety of foods and meals we can cook in an air fryer. But how do we make the most of this appliance that takes up space on a countertop? What's worth popping in the basket? Call in with your questions about using an air fryer. Experiences and tips welcome along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anna Crawley is an executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews, co-host of America's Test Kitchen Gearheads series on YouTube. Hannah, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So why are air fryers gaining momentum, becoming so popular?
Well, I mean, I think it started out as brilliant marketing because the idea of like air frying, the concept of being able to have fried food that's just cooked with air and you get that crispy, delicious exterior to your food definitely pulled people in initially. But I also think that they are incredibly convenient. And so I think it's the convenience that is their staying power right now.
When you say convenient, in what way?
Well, as opposed to heating up your regular oven, they don't preheat. They don't heat up your space as much. I should say some preheat for like 30 seconds to a minute, but most of them don't preheat much at all. They don't heat up your space as much. They turn off automatically. So you can set your time, 5 minutes, and then the machine's going to turn off. You don't have to be returning to your oven to check on it. They also stay cool from the outside, which is really important if you're in close quarters, if you have children in the area, if you're in a dorm room, that sort of thing.
Is there an energy efficiency savings to realize here compared to, say, your full-size electric oven?
Definitely.
So, when you look at all the different countertop appliances and all the real estate that they take up in a kitchen, should an air fryer get some of this real estate? Does it have that staying power, or will people eventually get rid of them?
Well, one thing I need to say is that if you have a convection oven, you already have an air fryer. All they are small countertop convection ovens. And convection basically means there's fans in there moving the air around and it conveys the heat differently. So if you already have convection in your oven, I don't really know if you need an air fryer, unless you want something smaller, more convenient, something you could use, outside on a hot day if you have a plug nearby. If you don't, though, if you just have a regular oven, you can hack it. You can cook your food up on a rack, and that will certainly help with airflow. But beyond that, if you don't have convection oven, they are extremely handy. And I think that some people, it depends on who you are. I think some people will adopt them and use them every single day in their lives, and other people, they're going to gather dust. So you have to think about what kind of cook you are, and do you want that quick convenience? Do you want to not worry about turning on your big oven all the time? So it kind of depends on who you are.
We're learning about the role of air fryers in our kitchen with Hannah Crawley. She's an executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews. You can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Hannah, air fryers come in these different styles. There's drawer style and oven style, instant pot lids, toaster ovens. What sets these styles apart? What should we look for?
That's a great question. And our most popular Gearheads video last year, by like literally 3 million views, is the question of air fryers versus toaster oven air fryers. So I know that's a big debate, but let me kick the other two styles off first, because it can get a little confusing. So toaster oven air fryers are toaster ovens with air fryer capabilities. Then set those aside. Then you have air fryers, and there's different styles. There's air fryers that have drawers that you pull out. There's air fryers that open from the top, like you're looking into a picnic basket. And then there are air fryers that have different oven racks in them. And then, like you said, there are the multi-cookers, like Instant Pot, that have switching on air fryer lids. So I think if you don't have a ton of space, we've found that the air fryer lids that go on top of Instant Pots, they can actually work pretty well. They're not the most convenient shape because you're always like pulling things out and putting them in down sort of into this chamber, which isn't the most convenient shape. And they also don't make them for our winning Instant Pot, which we think is fantastic. So I would say if space is really tight and you know you really want an Instant Pot and you really want an air fryer, definitely go for that style. But otherwise, let me set that aside for a minute. The air fryer ovens, so they're not toaster ovens, they're air fryers with racks in them. We did not like this style. They're just too small for the racks to be an advantage at all. So like it says, oh yay, we have two racks, fantastic. But the racks, if you have food on those racks, they block the air and the hot air from moving around in the air fryer chamber. So we saw incredibly uneven cooking. Like for example, we cooked chicken cutlets for chicken parmesan, and you know, one layer would be totally pale and another layer would be singeing. So we don't recommend that style. We also don't recommend air fryers that open from the top because the heating elements are stored in the top. And you have to really trust that catch, that hook that's going to hold up that top there. And you can also, it's really easy to bang your hand on it. So from a safety perspective, we don't really like that top, which leaves us with drawer style air fryers that
Ta-da.
You pull out the basket.
Here comes the basket.
The basket and air fryer toaster ovens. And these are the two styles we really like. So within these styles, there are quite a few differences. So air fryer toaster ovens are a little more versatile. You can actually broil in them, roast in them. You can do all kinds of things. They have more space, more capacity. They do preheat a little bit, just like a regular oven. You can do more in them. It's like having a smaller second oven, whereas the drawer style air fryer is fantastic, cooks super easily, cooks really well. We've hacked it to do all kinds of things, but it's smaller and it doesn't heat up as much and doesn't preheat. So I think I would recommend one of these for people depending on their needs.
And I want to talk about the material that is touching your food and what these baskets are made of. Do you typically find that they're made of like Teflon? What's out there?
Yeah, that's a really, I'm glad you asked that. This is something I'm personally very into. And every drawer style air fryer that I have seen on the market right now, except models that are glass, which I'll get to in a minute, they are mostly all coated with nonstick, so Teflon. And the air fryer toaster ovens, our winners by Breville, they tend to not have nonstick or have much, much less of it. And the basket is in the air fryer, the Breville air fryer toaster oven is a crosshatch stainless steel basket, which is a little harder to clean. But frankly, I prefer to avoid nonstick. So I'm down for a little extra cleaning.
Mm. Hannah Crawley is an executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews. Join our conversation about air fryers by calling with your questions, your thoughts. They're welcome at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you use an air fryer to supplement, maybe even replace what you've used a traditional oven for? It's part of our food series, Tools Around the Kitchen. We're drilling down on the air fryer with tips for putting it to use. Call in with your questions and comments about what foods turn out best in an air fryer and why. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Hannah Crawley is with America's Test Kitchen Reviews, where they test different models, and stays with us. Hannah, you were so kind as to pass along some recipes to us at WPR.org/mornings. And one is zucchini fries. Can you walk us through what you have here?
Yeah, sure. So I really loved this recipe because it shows off a couple tips and tricks that you can take into your cooking to get better browning and crispier food in an air fryer. So one thing we do, these are just, you cut zucchinis into like finger-like slices, and we coat them in breadcrumbs that we toast a little bit beforehand, because once the breadcrumbs touch the moist surface of a zucchini, you're not going to get a ton of extra browning. So if you do a little bit of extra toasting beforehand for some of your toppings, some of your panko, some of your, you know, toasted walnuts, it will get you further in an air fryer to getting that beautifully like caramelized, crispy surface. So we pre-toast our breadcrumbs and then we stack them in. Do you remember Lincoln Logs?
Like,
sure,
you
were playing those when you were a kid?
Yes. Yes.
So we stack them in basically like hashtags stacked on top one of another. And just like we used to build Lincoln Logs. And this increases the airflow. So you can actually fit more zucchini fries inside your chamber, because typically you really only want to have one layer in your cooking basket. And ideally you want to have some space around the food, because that's just going to maximize your airflow. Remember, these are all about airflow. So that's going to maximize your airflow. And when you stack the zucchini fries like this, you can make use of some of that vertical space while still maximizing your airflow.
Does it matter what kind of zucchini I use?
No. Use okay. Whatever your heart desires.
And you're suggesting a yogurt sauce to dip in this?
Yes. I think personally that's what just makes this come alive, because it's like you get that zucchini flavor, the crispiness, then the cool, creamy yogurt sauce. It's totally delicious. And you know what? We made these for a video, I think it was a month ago now. And so, you know, not the height of zucchini season, and they were still absolutely delicious.
And air fryers can also be used for small batches of roasted vegetables like Brussels sprouts and broccoli. How can we ensure the vegetables brown evenly and properly in the air fryer?
Yes. So my first tip is a little tossy toss. You got to toss that halfway through, open it up. Our winning model is actually from Instant Pot, and it will tell you, it will alert you when it's halfway through your cooking time to remind you for your little tossy toss. And then the next thing I would say is, you mean to get extra browning right, or to make sure they cook evenly?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So for certain vegetables, you actually want to put a little bit of water in the basket. Now, this may sound counterintuitive for browning, but certain things like broccoli, leeks, for example, they're going to dry out, and you're going to get this like tough bite instead of a tender bite and a little crispiness on the outside. So we actually pour a little bit of boiling water into the bottom of the basket when we kick off the cooking for those. Then you do your tossy toss halfway through, and at the end you get this tender but still crispy final product that's much better. You avoid that dry, leathery broccoli.
Wow. So a dash of boiling water, you say?
Yes. And boiling just to jumpstart things.
Okay.
Just to keep, you know, give yourself a little head start there.
Let's take a call now. Phil is with us in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hi, Phil.
Hi. My question is, why not just use a microwave? Most people have microwaves.
Phil, thank you. What about the microwave?
Yeah, that's a great question. And no shade to the microwave. It's just a different style of cooking. So I would say with an air fryer, because it's hot air that's being rotated around and blown around by a fan, it actually pushes the cooler air that your food is emitting off of the surface of the food, so the heat can penetrate it faster. That's actually how it works. And with a microwave, it's cooking a lot differently. So you're going to get a lot more moisture inside the cooking chamber. It's actually less even because of the way the rays work. But hey, I don't say choose one or the other. Microwaves are fantastic too. And Lisa McManus, who is my co-host on Gearhead, just wrote the most interesting review of microwaves. So if I could give you just two quick tips there that changed my life. So she says to actually put the bowl off center in there if you're heating something in the microwave, because of the way the heat moves inside a microwave, the food will actually cook more evenly if you put it off center. And the second thing she says is to, you really need to let the heat equalize in a microwave, which you don't need to do in an air fryer. The fans are doing that for you. They're moving the heat around. It's an incredibly even temperature throughout a good air fryer, whereas in a microwave, it works differently. So if you cook something, say, for a minute, leave it for 30 seconds after, and it will be much more evenly heated when you're done. So no shade to microwaves. I think they're fantastic. I have both. They work differently. Expect more moisture in a microwave in what you're cooking in there. And on the flip side, expect crispier results in an air fryer.
Hannah Crawley with us as we learn how to get the best use out of an air fryer. She's an executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews. Call in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Christina is with us in Glenwood. Hi, Christina.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you. My new Kasori drawer air fryer was recalled before I even got to use it. So, of course, I'm getting a new one. And if that new basket is made of Teflon, can I use parchment to protect my food, or will that obstruct the airflow?
So this is a great question. I know about that recall. Such a bummer. The interesting thing about parchment is most parchment is coated in nonstick. And some of it's coated in silicone, some of it's coated in nonstick. But there, if you're concerned about that kind of thing, most parchment is actually also coated with something. You can use them. We actually just tested air fryer liners. And so we had that question too. Like, these are supposed to be for easy cleanup, right? You put this thing in your air fryer, but if it blocks the airflow, are you negating any benefits of air frying in the first place? And our results were, parchment ones were fine because they're thin enough that the heat can penetrate, and thinner silicone reusable air fryer liners were fine. But just do want to caution you that most parchment is also coated. And if you're concerned about Teflon, your options are an air fryer toaster oven, or I just went to the Inspired Home Show, which is the biggest houseware show in the country last weekend, and air fryers with glass bases are the new thing. They were everywhere. And so those are coming out. Some are available right now. We haven't tested them yet. We're testing them as we speak. So I can't speak to how well they work, but that is another option on the market to address the people's concern about nonstick.
What about aluminum foil? What about cooking spray?
So aluminum foil we use in air fryer baskets. We use them to make slings often. But if you're concerned about Teflon, the contact point between the food and the Teflon isn't really the concern. It's in the air that you're cooking with.
Okay.
And typically it off-gasses, which Teflon is plastic. You know, like on your skillets, coated on your baked goods, on an air fryer basket, it's a very thin layer of plastic. And what manufacturers say is that it begins to break down and off-gas at 500 degrees. But the problem is that you can reach that pretty easily in a skillet on your stove, so you need to be careful there. Now, most air fryers don't go above 450, so you'd think you'd be safe there. But what we're seeing is, in select cases, that folks are still getting a plastic burning smell after the initial burn-off phase. So this is something we're heavily looking into right now, and it's definitely a concern of mine.
I saw that in your demo where you had done multiple uses of an air fryer, and you were still getting a taste of a plasticky smell in the food.
Yeah, which would lead one to believe, if you're smelling it, there's molecules in the air, you know, and it would lead me to believe that it's off-gassing. And actually, we partner with
MIT. MIT has been fantastic to us. So I'm actually bringing my air fryer to MIT for some off-gas testing next week because we want to get to the bottom of this. And again, it's in select cases. Most folks, when you get a brand new air fryer, you want to follow their directions, and they often have you run it for, like, say, 30 minutes at 400 degrees.
Just and that's, to get it off. And we have to
pause
right here with Hannah Crawley, executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our food series underway. We learn how to make the best use of kitchen gadgets and appliances that fill up our workspace and dive into the bells and whistles of all things air fryers that circulate hot air around the food to produce that crunchy, crispy exterior that we love. Call in with questions and comments about air fryers. Your stories welcome. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anna Crawley is an executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews and co-host of its Gearhead series. Hannah, surprise us, if you will. What is your favorite unconventional food to make with an air fryer?
Okay, I love this question. I think I'm going to say a cheesecake.
What?
And yes, so I love cheesecake. If you ever make one in a traditional oven, like, there's all kinds of hacks to make sure it cooks nice and evenly. Like, you can put it in a water bath, and so you don't want the top to crack. And, you know, there's all these different things we do in our cheesecake recipes to ensure that you get good results. But the oven doesn't naturally give you those good results. Whereas a air fryer, because it has that fan circulating the air, it's super even, and it's a smaller contained chamber, so you can actually get a beautiful cheesecake, even like a Basque-style cheesecake with that burnished caramelized top and a gooey center. You can get that out of your air fryer.
That's just so unbelievable. But, you know, I also, and it's not a cheesecake, but I saw a grilled cheese in just a fraction of minutes just come out gooey and perfect. But again, you have to flip it midway. And I'm wondering about opening and closing that air fryer. And I know you talk about the halfway point, but what should we think about when we do some of these unconventional foods? I'm not saying grilled cheese would be one of them, but just, you know, the unconventional things about opening and closing that air fryer.
Yeah, well, I would say you want to do it relatively quickly, right? Because if you leave it open, you're slowing down your cooking, the heat dissipates. And then I think there are a couple tools that can help this. So obviously, you know, an oven mitt, but we love tongs. Tongs can really help you get in there. They can be an extension of your hands, a heat-proof extension of your hands. OXO makes our winning pair of kitchen tongs. You can operate them with one hand. I like to open and close them by bumping them on my hip. And you can really get in there. So I like to pull out the drawer, do a toss, and then go in there with the tongs to evenly distribute everything again and make sure that I've got some space in between the pieces of what I'm cooking.
So I love that we're talking about unconventional things because Jen in Manitowoc has one to share. Hi, Jen.
Hello there. I wanted to be one of these people who say the air fryer changed my life. I fought it for like 8 years. Everybody's getting them, and I thought, yeah, right, whatever. But I make beef jerky in my air fryer. I use one of those lamb jerky guns. I use ground beef. I make my own spice, and then I put it in there. I've got one of these Vortex, like a big drawer, pretty basic, and I leave it in there at 160 or 170 until it's done. It's delicious.
How long does it take?
Hour or so, hour and a half.
And
I know people can use their oven as a dehydrator. I seriously do not have that kind of time.
And when you pull out that beef jerky, what is it like? What is the taste?
Well,
what's your secret?
My secret is basically I went on Pinterest and I looked for air fryer beef jerky and went from there.
Uh-huh.
Things that I like tamari sauce, etc. I do cure it in the oven for 10 minutes on a rack. I don't know if that's really necessary or not, but I got myself a beef jerky gun from Philippe Farm, and then I throw it in the air fryer, and
off you went. The rest is history. Hannah, how about the jerky?
I think that is so fantastic, and it sounds like Jen has our winning air fryer, so shout out to Jen there, the Instant Pot Vortex. I think that's fantastic. I would love to try some.
Jen, thanks for the call. Let's go to Paul in Madison now. Hi, Paul.
Hi there. You guys were talking about the glass-bottomed air fryers. I got it's a Big Boss glass air fryer. It's really big. You can fit a lot in there. And, yeah, it's nice because there's no plastic. And it's really easy to clean because it's basically just a big glass bowl.
Why did you decide to go big?
Originally, I was actually thinking about using it to make potentially lots of French fries for a food stand. Didn't end up going that way, but it's really nice for Brussels sprouts, and I can get a lot of those in there.
Paul, thank you so much. And Paul mentioned, Hannah, easier to clean.
Yes, I'm so happy to get a report from the front lines. Paul is there on the front lines with one of the first glass-based air fryers. I'm so interested in that. And totally, it's a glass bowl. So, you don't want to drop it, of course, because, then you'd be in trouble. But easier to clean. And it's interesting, the reps I spoke with at the trade show also mentioned that people want to see their food cooking. So I think that's another big motivation here. This actually, I just made frozen French fries in my air fryer the other day, and they burnt to a crisp, but it was the last of the bag. It was sort of a tragic situation. So I could see wanting to be able to see what's inside there.
What should we know about cleaning an air fryer?
Ah, yes. Okay. Well, the big one is really obvious, but I'm going to say it. Don't immerse the electronics. I think everyone's like, yes, we know that, Hannah, but I'll just say that. The baskets are sometimes dishwasher safe, which is fine. You can do that if you want, but we actually don't recommend putting nonstick in the dishwasher. The detergents can be really abrasive. So I would recommend, if it suits your lifestyle, to hand wash the basket and the rack inside. You want to stay away from citrus cleaners like a lemon scented dish soap. They actually are a touch more abrasive, so they can break down that nonstick coating. You don't want to be scrubbing it on there. Think of the nonstick coating as like the layer of your skin. And so, you don't want to be scrubbing super hard because you are going to wear it away. But beyond that, we get a lot of questions about if I can't immerse the base, how do I clean it?
Mm-hmm.
So once the basket's out, you can take the soft side of, a warm sponge with either hot soapy water or a gentle cleaning spray. Method is our winner. We love Method. And you can spray inside there and just give it a wipe down. And they're, for the most part, when particles fly up and hit the heating element, they're just going to burn off during cooking. Like if you're cooking chicken wings and you get a little sizzle, it's probably just going to burn off. But there are times when it won't. And if you continuously smell something burning or see smoke, when you're done cooking or when, your air fryer is cool, unplug it, turn it over, and look at that heating element and give it a spot clean. Because my guess would be there's a little bit of fat, gristle, something that's burnt on up there that's giving you trouble. But don't scrub it, just spot clean the heating element.
Is this cleaning every time, every use, or how often do we need to clean it?
That's a great question. So, no, I would say that cleaning the machine itself, like the inside of it and the heating element, is as needed. So if you cook something really greasy and you notice it's greasy back there, I would clean it just because it's going to smell. But it's not touching the food, so it's not like it's going to be unsanitary. The baskets, you probably want to clean them every time, but the thing is, if you use an air fryer liner, if you have a good one that fits your air fryer, that goes, wall to wall inside the basket, when we were testing these, sometimes we lifted them out and there was nothing to clean. So, you know, if you're using a liner or it doesn't look dirty at all, sure, don't clean it. But for the most part, basket every time, machine as needed.
We're getting tips and tricks to use when cooking with an air fryer with Hannah Crawley, executive editor for America's Test Kitchen Reviews. Call in with your questions, your experiences with air fryers at 800-642-1234. Mark is here from Bloomer. Mark, hi.
So I heard what you just said about keeping it clean. You didn't hit the nail on my question yet, though. The basket for our air fryer is always like real sticky to the touch, and I've tried everything I can imagine to make it less like gross and sticky. What am I supposed to do? Help me.
Thank you, Mark.
I have a diagnostics question for you. Are you using nonstick spray on it?
No.
No? Okay. I would say that was my first thought, because actually you don't want to use nonstick spray on nonstick. It will cling to it and will create that surface. Other than that, gosh, so hot soapy water is usually enough to remove whatever you need to. What kind of fat are you using in there?
We've been doing like bags of chicken nuggets and you know, just odd things like that. Nothing crazy.
And cleaning it just with hot soapy water?
I've tried that. I've ran it through the dishwasher. Shame on me. I used Comet cleanser. I'm like, God, this has got to come off.
Okay. I hate to break it to you, but Comet is super abrasive. So the problem could be that you actually wore down your nonstick coating by using Comet on it. And that's when it's actually starting to cling more after the Comet. But it sounds like you had the problem beforehand. And I don't know, usually if you're avoiding nonstick spray, washing with hot soapy water, that should do the trick. If you're doing like really long cook times and the oil is just getting like polymerized on there, really baked onto the surface, that could be another thing. But again, this is a drawer style coated with nonstick, I assume.
My wife does the cooking. I do the dishes. I don't know. I'll have to ask her what she does.
I like the divide and conquer. I appreciate that. And running all the testing there, Hannah. Mark, good luck. Thank you so much for the call. One more thing, Hannah, here. How do you recommend we store air fryers?
That's a good question. I would want folks to make sure that they don't put the drawer back in and the basket back in wet and close it up in there, because that can build up bacteria. Otherwise, it depends. You know, as far as convenience, if you put the thing too far away, if you tuck it too far away, you're not going to use it. So if you want to see if this can really be a part of your life, make sure to store it somewhere convenient. And then look at the dimensions. You know, one reason why storage is an issue, right? And when you're considering an air fryer, like, do I want to add this another big countertop appliance? And one reason why our winner, the Instant Pot Vortex 1, is it has a huge capacity for a relatively small footprint. So I would think about, who are you cooking for? Are you cooking for 1 to 2 people? Are you cooking for 3 to 4 people? Then choose the size of your air fryer accordingly, and then try to fit it somewhere in your kitchen, like a size that fits your kitchen that's going to be accessible. Because, you know, if you put it out in the garage, you're probably, it's just going to gather dust.
You know, that KitchenAid standing mixer is listening very intently here to figure out, like, where. Oh, dear. Hannah Crawley is with America's Test Kitchen Reviews, fielding all your questions and experiences related to the increasingly popular kitchen appliance. And there's still time for you on air fryers. Call in at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As part of our food series, we talk air fryers, all things air fryers. Food Network refers to these mini convection ovens as countertop workhorses. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about cooking with air fryers, 800-642-1234. Hannah Crawley here with America's Test Kitchen Reviews, where they regularly put different models to the test. Hannah, you've been working on these air fryer mission like over the years, and I'm wondering, has the technology changed much?
Definitely, definitely. So I would say the first brand to really do air fryers was Philips, and they were a classic drawer style model. They looked like, you know, a black pod. And then what came after were impersonators, you know, knockoffs of Philips. Knockoff sounds negative. I shouldn't say that, but more brands entered the field. And then the styles started to proliferate. So you had, you know, the ones that opened like Pac-Man, and then you had the ovens, and then you have the toaster ovens, and now we've got the glass bases. So they are definitely constantly and continually evolving.
Do I need to buy extra attachments for my air fryer? I know you mentioned tongs, a good pair of tongs. Anything else that I should have to use with my air fryer?
I think that a 6-inch cake pan is also a really nice thing to have. And so speaking just about regular air fryers here, not air fryer toaster ovens, but I'll get there in a second. But for regular air fryers, I think a 6-inch cake pan gives you a nice little dish, a little surface to work with on there. So you can make things like the cheesecake, or you could do something that's maybe a little bit too liquidy for just putting on a rack. So it just expands the versatility of the air fryer a little bit. And then air fryer toaster ovens are a different beast. Our winner from Breville comes with all kinds of, you know, pans and a pizza pan and whatnot. And they're great. So I would say like a small sheet pan is fantastic for a toaster oven air fryer. Our winner from Breville also fits a 9x13 pan, which when it doesn't have handles, just to clarify, not a roasting pan, but like a metal 9x13, which is so useful on the holidays. You can basically have it be a second oven. So I would say with an air fryer toaster oven, get a small sheet rimmed baking sheet that fits in there. The Breville comes with one. I have to say, I'm not crazy about the Breville one. It has like, it's not completely flat on bottom. It has some three-dimensional imprints in it. I prefer a flat baking sheet. So I have our winning rimmed baking sheet in the quarter sheet pan size, which is from Nordic Wear. And it's just fits in there perfectly. And it's so much easier to clean than a big baking sheet, which is another reason why I'm turning to my air fryer toaster oven more and more.
Okay, so let's say you're an air fryer newbie like me, and I'm wondering, what is a good gateway food for someone who has never cooked with an air fryer before? What should we try first?
Okay, I love this question. I mean, chicken wings are an easy go-to because they're so delicious. There's not a huge investment. You can personalize them for whichever flavor combo you're after. And the yield is fantastic. Not literally, excuse me. I should say the outcome is so fantastic. Like if you ever make deep fried chicken wings at home, you know, they're incredible. Like I'll do that once in a while. So good. But you can get incredibly crispy, crackly results from an air fryer. So I think chicken wings are a great starting place to show you what they can do.
Oh, I love that. Do you think that the trajectory for air fryers and the popularity of them and their just like this explosive growth, will they continue in popularity or do you think that they will fade away?
Gosh, every year I keep waiting and I'm not rooting it on. I'm just, to be honest, waiting for their decline because that's how our industry works, right? For a while, it was sous vide machines. Then it was the Instant Pot. The Instant Pot had a huge run for years. But we have been on air fryers for, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years now. And judging by what I saw at the show this year, more and more brands are getting into the game, judging by the interest. So we put out 12 episodes of Gearheads a year, and this year and last year, so far, our number one videos are the air frying videos. Ah. So I think that judging by manufacturers and consumer interest, we've got a couple more years left in this trend, though I think, like all appliance trends, it will come to an end someday.
Let's go to Terry in Stoughton. Terry, hi.
Hi. I had a question about if you had an opinion about over-the-range microwave / air fryer. There's a few
companies.
Oh, that's
so interesting. Yeah. We actually haven't tested them yet, these combo microwave air fryers, and we are putting them on our list because that is such an interesting combination of technology to me. Like I was answering that person's question before about like, what about the microwave, and saying there's such different technologies. So I don't have a good answer for you, but color me exceptionally intrigued and ask me in a year because I'll go test them for you.
Terry, do you have one or are you in the air fryer market?
I am in the air fryer market. And I thought I'm also in an above the range microwave market. So I thought I could combine them. You know, and I saw that there's a couple different brands that make them. I think KitchenAid might be one, but I don't recall exactly.
Are they marketing them as smart ovens, Hannah? Have you seen them called that?
Smart ovens are a different category.
Oh, okay.
It's funny. There's a lot of overlap in this field. Smart ovens are a different category that I can speak to that we have tested, but I haven't seen them in this combo category. And I guess the one thing you mentioned, KitchenAid, my one bit of advice here would be, because it's an emerging technology, make sure you buy from a brand that you trust. And look at your warranty, because often the first round of these things can be a little wonky.
Terry, thank you for the call. Really quickly here, Joe in Southwest Wisconsin called in, and Joe soaked their air fryer overnight in vinegar to combat tough stains. Hannah, any insights there?
Well, I don't think they mean the whole machine, right?
I hope not either. Oh, dear. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Hannah Crawley is an executive editor at America's Test Kitchen Reviews, co-host of America's Test Kitchen Gearhead series on YouTube. For more food-related programming, check out Food Friday on Central Time. My colleague Rob Ferret every Friday at 3:30 and 5 on the Ideas Network. You can find lots of cooking recipes as well on our website, wpr.org/foodfriday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.